Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. That's a pretty powerful list there of things that come. We're holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you try real hard and don't fail. If, this is what God said, that's what we all say to ourselves. This is what God said. You are holy in His sight, without blemish, and you are free from accusation if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the good news of Jesus. I wrote something in my margin some time ago. It says, we, it seems, are responsible to not flirt with doubts. According to God's heart and mind, His specific word, the things that are important to God are not exactly what we would usually think that they are. We are blameless, holy in His sight, without blemish, if we continue in our faith, established and firm in our faith, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. We are, it seems, responsible to not flirt with doubts. What makes us blameless? What makes us without fear of accusation before the judgment seat? Hard work and no failure? Or an unwavering faith and hope, not flirting with doubts? How many of you flirt with doubts in your mind from time to time? Doubts about God's goodness, doubts about your own ability to love God or serve God, doubts about whether people care about you, doubts about whether you'll ever be strong enough to overcome your sin, doubts about this, doubts about that. You know, that's not what God has called us to. The nature of the covenant from Abraham on has been a covenant of faith, not a covenant of flawless perfection. As wonderful as that may be, even that can only come through faith, and that not of yourselves. You see, the nature of the good news of Jesus Christ is that by His physical body, nailed to a cross, He has reconciled us to His Father. He's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son whom the Father loves, by a covenant that's based on not flirting with doubts, by believing that the blood of Christ is effective for the washing away of sins, and to present you perfect and spotless and blameless and without accusation before His glorious throne. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. Do not flirt with doubts. Do not tolerate negative thinking and fussing. By all means, be convicted of sin. By all means, stomp on Satan's head aggressively with a smile on your face when there's junk in your life. But do not flirt with doubts. That's different than conviction. Conviction can come with worship. Doubts can't. Conviction can come with a firm heart of fervor towards God. Doubts can't. Conviction can be accompanied by a deep love of other people. Doubts and fears can't. They separate us from one another. They bring strife and division and confusion. They break down fellowship with God and with man. Make that your covenant based on this promise from God that you will be holy in His sight. You will be without blemish. You will be free from accusation before His glorious throne. If you continue in your faith, you continue to be established and firm in your faith, not moved from the hope held out by the blood of Jesus and His body, which reconciles you to the Father. It is our responsibility to not flirt with doubts, to not give in to having our faith and our hope shipwrecked or wavering or just sloppy because we've just allowed these things to creep into our mind. Don't flirt with it. I mean, surely you know enough to not settle yourself in doubt. You know, I don't think I'm going to believe in God. Surely you know better than that. But you need to know better than to flirt with doubts too, because that's disastrous. Do not flirt with doubts. If you give the devil a foothold, he'll take the whole boat. So don't even tolerate that stuff. Whatever's pure and lovely and noble and praiseworthy, think on these things. This morning I woke up and I laid in bed for a couple hours praying, and I just had this constant barrage of things about, you know, about my failures and all this stuff and fears and all kinds of junk going through my head. And I'm kind of glad it happened, actually, because it allows me to say all of what I'm saying right now with a real joy in my heart that it is true. That if you'll look at the Son of the Father's love, and you'll fix your eyes on Him, if you'll worship Him, if you'll, without wavering and with a steadfast holding on to the hope that's set out before you by the reconciled body and blood of the Son of God, if you hold fast to that without wavering, God will deliver you to the other side of that, and you'll regain your sanity. You'll push away the doubts and the fears, unless you choose to flirt with them and monkey around with them in your head, and then it'll drive you into despair and confusion and broken fellowship and unfruitfulness and all of those other things. So, you know, I want you to know, no matter how bad it is, these things that would batter your little brain, these things that would twist and torment your emotions and jab you in the side and poke you in the eye and strike fear in your heart and condemnation and doubt and skepticism and judgment of others, all that kind of nonsense is from the enemy. Our job, our responsibility, it seems, is to not flirt with doubts or judgments or any of those negative things, but to continue in your faith and trust, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Amen.